This reading is from John chapter 1, verses 6 to 8 and verses 19 to 28. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gave light to every man is coming into the world. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of the kingdom sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him then, "Who are you? Are you Elijah?" "No," he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Well, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of the prophet Isaiah, "I am the voice of the one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor prophet?" I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me. The thongs of those sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of Jordan, where John was baptizing. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I'll start off today with a bit of legal history, very recent legal history, actually. Last year, the chip maker Qualcomm was embroiled in a legal battle with a global gadget device company, Apple. The two big companies were arguing about patents in relation to some technology used in Apple's phones. Apple argued that some of their technology was co-developed by one of its engineers, and not only by Qualcomm alone. Qualcomm argued, on the other hand, that they developed the technology and in any case they registered the patents. The whole court case came down to the testimony of Apple's star witness, the engineer who was said to have developed helped develop the technology. There was one problem. He no longer worked for Apple, but had gone to Google. Just before the start of the proceedings, this star witness decided not to testify. Apple realized that without this star witness, it did not have a strong case. Yes, there were other witnesses there, but no one else was as credible. And so Apple decided to negotiate a settlement with Qualcomm rather than to continue the legal action. That cost a few million dollars. The existence of a star witness is often crucial in some legal actions. In many cases, the credibility of that witness is important. The Gospels, in particular the Gospel of John, portray John the Baptist as a key witness to Jesus. As we heard today, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. Through his strange appearance and lifestyle, through his calls for repentance, John was well known among the people of Judea. His preaching struck a chord with the people at the time. John the Baptist must have made quite the impression. We read about him in the works of the historian Josephus. John the Baptist had commanded the Jews to exercise virtue, righteousness towards one another, and piety towards God. For only thus, in John's opinion, would the baptism he administered be acceptable to God, namely, if they used it to obtain not pardon for some sins, but rather the cleansing of their bodies. Inasmuch as it was taken for granted that their souls had already been purified by justice. Now many people came in crowds to him, for they were greatly moved by his words. Herod Antipas, who feared the great influence John had over the masses, might put them into his power and enable him to raise a rebellion, for they seemed ready to do anything he should advise, thought it best to put him to death. In this way, he might prevent any mischief John might cause, and not bring himself into difficulties by sparing a man who might make him repent of it when it would be too late. So Josephus here says that the people seem to be ready to do anything that John the Baptist should advise. With such an influence and reputation, John the Baptist would have been a key witness. And he used that influence to point towards Jesus. Now, John the Evangelist, in the Gospel of John, there's quite a few references to John the Baptist spread throughout the Gospel. But the evangelist put the key part of that testimony of John the Baptist in our gospel reading today. So we'll look at that. So John was clearly influential at that time, but who was he? Who did he himself say he was? Well, a few people asked that, and also the priests and Levites wondered what John was all about. So they went to John, and through their questioning, they also became involuntary witnesses to Jesus. First of all, John clears up that he is not the Messiah, the heaven-sent king that the Jews were waiting for, and who is also mentioned quite often in the Old Testament. And so they asked him, following that, "Are you Elijah?" What's all that about, Elijah? Well, that relates to the words of the prophet Malachi, who said, "See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers." Some people took those words of Malachi literally. After all, Elijah was taken up to heaven in a carriage. Therefore, Elijah would come again before God's decisive day of judgment. Others took the words more metaphorically. Elijah was the first of the major prophets of Israel and often seen as a typical prophet, in some sense even the representative of the prophets. And so John says, "No, I'm not Elijah. I'm not even another one in the line of prophets like Jeremiah or Malachi." So following that, he was then asked, "Are you the prophet?" What's all that about? After all, John had just said that he is not one in the line of prophets. Now, the prophet, this refers back to the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers." So this refers to a prophet in the line of Moses, more like a lawgiver, rather than a prophet who speaks God's word into history. Again, John says that he is not the prophet like Moses either. By the way, in the book of Acts, we read that Peter later identified Jesus as that prophet like Moses. At that point, the priests and Levites got a bit exasperated with John the Baptist. They knew that John the Baptist was someone special in God's interaction with Israel and the world. "Who then are you?" they ask. And John says, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." So what's all this about? Well, luckily, in our gospel, it says it refers to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, to be exact, where it says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God, and a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God." In these words from Isaiah, the restoration of Israel from exile is proclaimed. So it seems that is John's role, to proclaim the restoration from exile. But hadn't the restoration from exile happened 500 years before? Well, yes, many Jews came back to Jerusalem from the exile in Babylon. But little changed, and the prophets at that time proclaimed that the full restoration from exile was yet to take place. For example, the book of Daniel says that due to Israel's continuing sin and rebellion, the return from exile and the coming of the Messiah would only take place after 70 times 7 years, presumably, when the time will be fulfilled. The Jews were still waiting for that full return from exile. John the Baptist therefore proclaimed a message of preparation for that full return from exile. John called the people to prepare for the coming of the good news, for the coming of the Messiah. At this stage, John does not directly call the one who is to come the Messiah, but rather says, "The one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." That's still a fairly clear indication of who he is expecting to come. Throughout the Gospels, that witness of John becomes more and more concrete. So Jesus is the Messiah, the one who brings the exile to an end, the prophet like Moses, and the one who will eventually, though not yet, come at the day of the Lord. And Jesus is also the one who surpasses John, because Jesus was before John was. There are times later on in the Gospel when John the Baptist isn't quite sure whether Jesus is the one everyone has been waiting for. And yet, later on, he is reassured and he continues his witness. In a sense, John the Baptist focused the Old Testament promises and the hopes of Israel on Jesus. John is an important witness to the role of Jesus. The Greek word used to describe John in the Gospel is martyr. Martyr just means witness in Greek. In later years, that word took on a new meaning as people gave their lives to witness to the importance of Jesus in their own lives. While John was an important witness who lived in the expectation of Jesus, there were many other witnesses who experienced Jesus. And those witnesses included the people who did not meet Jesus as the man walking on earth, but who experienced the presence of Jesus in their lives. They gave witness of the difference that Jesus made in their own lives. They gave witness that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, the one sent by God, the one who reconciled them to God, and the one who gives their lives meaning. Some were prepared to witness even to death, and they were known as martyrs. However, those martyrs were not the only witnesses. In many small ways, people throughout the centuries have witnessed to God's love. That living witness is often more significant than even the words of a star witness such as John the Baptist. It is through our lives that we too are witnesses that Jesus is indeed that Messiah, the Savior of the world. Amen.